What's up, everybody? We are back. Draft season round number three for the Ethos Grizzlies podcast. It's David and Isaac. We are going full throttle right out of the gate. We didn't stretch. We didn't warm up. We're trying not to pull a hammy. We're coming back with six prospects again tonight. And just to keep, we're just keeping the ball rolling. This will probably be the last episode of this week, but we will come back strong next week. Already talked to a couple guys about lining up guests, and I'm sure that Isaac is in conversation with some of his guys about getting them lined up. So over the next few weeks here, we're going to get plenty of guests and talk about plenty of draft prospects. Isaac, man, I'll let you rip us off the top. Who do you want to start off with tonight?
I'm going to start off with Jake LaRavia, 6'8", 227-pound junior small forward out of Wake Forest, 6'9 and a half wingspan, 20 years old. A lot to like when you watch him on film, man. Just run through his numbers, 14.6 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.7 steals, one block. As you can see, man, he kind of fills up that stat sheet, does a lot of things for you, 2.7 turnovers a game, but 77.7% from the free throw line, 55.9% field goal percentage, 38.4% from three. Didn't shoot a whole lot of them, only 0.8 per 2.2 attempts per game, 28 of 73 overall on the year. But I don't think, if you got to watch the film, I don't think there's any doubt that he has three-point shooting potential. And I think he's a guy that was originally looked at mostly mocked in the second round, but he had a really good combine, didn't participate in the five-on-five, but did all the drills, led all prospects in a three-point star drill, going 17 to 25 for 68%. That's the kind of drill where they go around the perimeter from different spots and shoot threes, man. He led all prospects to the combine, and that also second in the shuttle run at 2.89 seconds, and third at lane agility at 10.58 seconds. First thing you look at with LaRavia, as I said, is the shooting ability. The volume wasn't necessarily there, but the efficiency was, man. Shot 38.4%. As I said, 28-73 overall, but he was 39.7% on catch and shoot looks. I think that's where he really excels. He also shoots really well from the corner three, which is something that you really like to see. That was his most efficient shot. Pretty much textbook release when you watch the shot. Just beautiful, man. It doesn't hit a lot of rim, man. He's pretty pure on those shots when they go in, man. It's nothing but net. Similar to Bane, it's more of a flat-footed shot. It doesn't take a lot of room to get it off, and he does a good job of evading defenders with a slide step to kind of create open looks. And then outside of three-point, he shot 56.6% at the rim. Great cutter and pick-and-roll guy, excels in the half court, which is something that this team could really use. Because you talk about one of this team's struggles, if you pointed anything, I think half-court offense is one of the areas where they kind of struggle. And I think LaRavia does a really good job in that area. I mean, a really good passer. And he has kind of a post-up fadeaway in his bag. Like I said, really good passer, can facilitate offense. I mean, he does high IQ, just does a lot of things really well offensively. Defensively, really uses his length well as an on-ball defender. Does a really good job of sliding his feet. Average 3.1 stocks per game. Walls up really well in the paint, allowing his defender to defend without fouling. He does a really good job of that. He has quick hands, which allows him to get deflections, to get into the passing lane. Does a good job of jumping post-entry passes. And you'll see him turn defense into offense. Gets a lot of deflection, gets out, and takes it to the other way and finishes at the rim. Just has a knack for knowing where to be defensively. I mean, super, super high defensive IQ on both ends, actually. Man, just a high IQ player overall. Weaknesses, I think lateral quickness could be an issue, especially when he's guarding smaller guards. And I think if he's guarding bigger players, I think strength could be an issue as well. He had a hard time. Anytime he got switched onto a guard, man, it wasn't pretty. I mean, yeah, they kind of pretty much blew by him. And I guess that goes to that lateral quickness. Only 5 of 17, 29.4% on pull-up three-point shots. So he's mostly, when he shoots threes, man, it's catch and shoot. But that's where he excels. He kind of struggles on pull-up shots. Doesn't do a lot in the mid-range right now. It's mostly three-point shots and post-ups and finishing at the rim. I think that's kind of some of the weaknesses that you see with him. So I think overall, man, I really love him as a prospect. Like I said, man, tested out really well at the combine. And I think with a lot of guys, I think what you're going to see is what I just kind of mentioned defensively. Is he gonna guard threes? Is he going to guard fours? And then if he's going to guard fours, some of the bigger, stronger forwards in the league, there's not a lot of those guys, but he's going to have to go up against some of those guys sometimes. And I think that's kind of the question with him. Defensively, is he gonna be able to guard those bigger fours?
We talked about a guy last year from Duke, and I can't remember his name, but it reminds me a lot of that. Like he
said, Matthew Hurt.
Yeah. So yeah. Like he's got quick hands. He's not a bad defender, but because of his size and then lack of lateral quickness, does he have a position? Right, like it's going to match up dependent. If he's matched up against the right guy, he's going to be fine defensively. He's not going to hurt you. But if it's a fast three, he's going to have a hard time keeping up with him. If it's a strong four, he's going to have a hard time keeping up with them. But he's going to have a hard time controlling them. His shooting, there's no doubt in my mind that he can be a guy. He can be a great catch and shoot guy in the NBA. Probably my favorite thing about the film watching him was his ability to pass the ball. Because he lacks lateral quickness, he doesn't have that burst to take people off the dribble. So you see him posting up a lot and he's got great vision. You know, you see a number of different passes from him out of the post, passing his guys open. He averaged 4 assists a game or almost 4 assists a game. This last season at Wake Forest, he played against NBA caliber talent. I was watching some film of him guarding Paolo Banchero. And he done a great job on Banchero,
held his own.
You know, and that is NBA level talent. So he's not quite exactly like Hurt was last year because his hands are way quicker. Like he gets disruptive because of the speed of his hands. And so I think that may save him. And I don't know that this is not something, you know, you look at the agility in that shuttle run and the stuff that he was able to do with the combine.
Yeah, that's what's surprising maybe when these you see things, those numbers.
Maybe you see these things get better for him. And I think because of his playmaking ability, his ability to pass out of the post, because of the quick hands and his shooting, I think he has a role in the NBA somewhere, man. I don't know fit-wise, like where I would see him plugging in with the Grizzlies, what kind of role he would get with them. A lot of that depends on who stays or who goes for the Grizzlies. Yeah. But, you know, this is a guy that there's no doubt in my mind that he's gonna stick in the NBA. He will find a role somewhere because of his ability to shoot and pass the ball.
Yeah, I think – I mean, he's – as far as Matthew Hurd's more of a kind of a flat-footed guy. I think LaRavia is definitely – better than he is as far as his defensive potential. I mean, like I said, I think those are definitely going to be questions. Where does he fit? Is he going to be guarding threes? Is he going to be guarding fours? Where does he fit in the league? But I think all the rest of the stuff, the high IQ, the passing ability, like you said, the shooting upside, I think it's going to carve out a role for him. I think, and you mentioned a great point about the Grizzlies, where he fits. That's kind of, honestly, the question with anybody with this Grizzlies roster, because right now, as the roster stands, they don't really have room for anything. I think you just need improvement from certain guys on a roster. They don't really – it's hard to kind of pinpoint a need outside of you just want to get better in a half court. And I think that's kind of – and you always need more shooting. But I think those are kind of the things generally that you say for the Grizzlies. But they don't really have a role for anybody, any minutes or anything for a guy to come in. So, for me, I'm just looking at – take the best basketball players, whoever you think is going to be the great player, because I think you send them down to South Haven and let them cook down there, man, and you might have something coming up in a couple of years, but they don't really have a lot of minutes. So I'm just looking at the best basketball player, and I think LaRavia has a lot of things to like. I think that's going to be a question, and I don't know if that's something that you could get much better at. I mean, either you have lateral quickness usually or you don't. I don't think that's going to be an area he's going to improve in a lot, man. But I love the offensive IQ and even the defensive IQ on guys that he can handle in his shooting ability, man. I definitely think, as you said, I think he has a role in this league. I don't think there's any question about that. And you kind of watch him on film, and you kind of – I was kind of surprised to see him put up those numbers at the combine because, I mean, you don't – watching him, you wouldn't necessarily think he would excel in those two drills. But, I mean, they did a good job, and I think he's – probably put himself if not in the first round, early second. I mean, because he was originally projected like mid to late second, and now you're seeing him in the first round, bottom of the first round in most drafts. So I think he did himself service. Did not take part in the 5-on-5. Agent pulled him out of it because I think he probably felt like that they might have get a first round offer. So he probably didn't want to put anything else on tape that could be negative. So don't blame him there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after you have a showing like that and, you know, and all the drills, you can't do anything but hurt your stock. Right. Like you had that good showing. Let's not hurt what we've got right here and see what happens. So, you know, it's again, I the questions about him, I don't think are big enough that it's going to keep people from drafting him. I think that he definitely ends up on a roster, whether he starts off in the G League or somewhere else. I think that he will be able to carve out a role because of his tool or because of the tools that he has.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And again, like I said, especially for a team like the Grizzlies, because they have the time to wait on guys. They can be patient with guys. They don't need someone necessarily to come in and light the world on fire the first year. I mean, they have time to develop guys. And out of any of the teams in the league, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Man, I trust this front office and his coaching staff with identifying players and player development. I mean, they excel in those two areas. So anybody that gets drafted by the Grizzlies, man, if they're looking to develop their game and get better and they have a work ethic and that's what they want to do, there's no better organization than the Memphis Grizzlies to step into, because they're gonna key in on the things that you need to work on, vitamins, as Taylor Jenkins calls them. They're going to make sure you get those, man, and get the work in. If you're willing to put in the work, man, they're going to help you get to where you need to be.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Speaking of development, the next guy, you will notice a trend with the guys that I picked to cover tonight. I don't think any of the guys that I'm talking about are guys that you will see year one in the rotation for the Grizzlies if they're drafted by them. But my first guy that I want to talk about tonight is Dalen Terry, 6'7" guard from Arizona, 7 foot plus wingspan.
Yeah,
Young draft age. He's gonna be he'll be 19 when he's drafted. He turns 20 in July. But he, like the biggest probably downfall. I'm gonna start with that. The biggest concern with him is his shooting. I feel like he you know, gets with the right shooting coach, gets in a place. If he finds some consistency in that jumper, the rest of his game is, I think, at an elite level. I'm comfortable saying an elite level from him. He's able to get downhill. He's able to, you know, like create for his teammates. He can play well off the ball. He rebounds the ball well because of his length. He has got all the tools to be a plus defender. He's already a good defender. 35, he shot 35% from three, which doesn't look that bad. But if you watch the film on him, it just doesn't look fluid. It kind of, man, I don't know. I need to do a better job of finding adjectives to describe like the changes in the shots. It's not a hitch, but it just doesn't, it almost doesn't look natural from him. And so that's my only concern. But he's a guy, because of his age, you draft him, you send him to South Haven, you let him work with that coaching staff, and then you have a guy with pretty high upside. So I think the Grizzlies are in a spot where they can afford to do that. They can draft a guy that maybe is not ready year one, but could eventually be a huge part of the team.
Yeah, man, when you look at Dalen Terry, first thing that you look at is a guy at 6'7" that has some of the skills that he possesses. I mean, I think that's number one, jumps off the page at you. I mean, because you have a guy that's 6'7" that can potentially combo guard but can play point guard for you. Anytime you have a guy that size with point guard skills, man, you already have a lot to work with. Like I said, man, super athlete, has a high motor, he plays hard. Can really attack the basket, like you said, man. Can break guys down off the dribble, can get to the basket for himself or create for his teammates. Gets deflections. He's a good rebounder. Average of about five rebounds a game last year. But like you said, I think his jump shot is inconsistent. I think that's something that he needs to work on. But I mean, he's super talented. I mean, you think that's something that they can fix. I feel like he's a guy that, like you said, I mean, his jump shot doesn't really look natural, but I just feel like he's a guy that if he works on that and put the work in, that he has the potential to be better. Because, I mean, the numbers aren't bad. I mean, 36.4%, they didn't shoot a whole lot. About one make on 0.8 makes on 2.1 attempts per game. It's 28 of 72 overall. So there is three-point shooting potential there. I mean, it's not like it's super broken. I mean, he can knock down shots. It's not like he's just an awful shooter, but it's definitely something that he needs to work on. Definitely needs to get stronger because, like you said, it's 6'7", but he's only, 195 pounds. That's kind of small for a 6'7 guy. He needs to put a little bit of weight on, get in that weight room, but you're definitely going to do that when you get to the NBA level. 7-foot wingspan, you definitely like that. On the defensive end, does have a tendency to gamble a little bit, can pick up some fouls. And offensively, there are times where he can get a bit wild on offense and try to do a little bit too much, but only 19 years old. Like I said, all these things with him are coachable. And I think if he could put it all together, man, he could be a really good player. Because, again, man, that size, 6'7", a guy with point guard skills that can set up for his teammates and create the way that he can, just needs to get more consistency on that jump shot, because he has a lot of other things that you already like, man. Just need to hone him in, man, and perfect him. And I think he's going to be a really good player. And I think where he's projected it, mostly in the second round, early second round of most mocks, he's a guy that – one of those type of guys that you could take him and he could far outperform his draft position.
Yeah, I saw one mock draft from Basketball News. It really surprised me. They have him not being drafted, and I just
– Wow, that's ridiculous, man.
I don't see that there's any way that happens.
No.
Because of the length, because of his athleticism – he takes care of the ball. You know, he's a 2+ assist to turnover ratio. You know, you mentioned his rebounding. He rebounds well for a guard. He's already, I think that he could come in and guard NBA level talent already. Bigger, stronger guys are going to outmuscle him, but he can guard most of the people on the wing and be just fine. That's something that you can get in the weight room. You can always put muscle on. But you look at what he done year one, his freshman year at Arizona, he was 41% from the field. He shot 32% from three and 61% from the free throw line. Year two, you see a 7-minute per game increase, and he goes from starting half the games as a freshman to starting every game in his sophomore season. And his field goal percentage goes up to 50%. His three-point percentage goes up to 36%. And you see a 12-point jump in his free throw percentage. So he's putting work in. You're seeing that growth from him. And I was talking to some people earlier, and one person said that they're all in on him. They're like, I think that he could come in and find rotation minutes for the Grizzlies right off the bat. I don't necessarily agree with that, but it's also like with the growth that you've watched from him from his freshman season to that sophomore season, it wouldn't surprise me if he got in, you know, started playing the summer league, get around the coaching, start working with better players if you don't see another leap from him.
Yeah, I definitely think, like I said, man, so skilled. I mean, there's a lot of things there. And I think he's a guy that I think you could see excel in a summer league. I think that's the type of game that he has. I think he could do a good job because, again, I mean, facilitate, set up for his teammates. If you think about him playing alongside Zaire Williams on the summer league team, and I could see some good stuff happening there. So I like him a lot. Again, man, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, the Grizzlies have their pick at 47. I don't think he hangs around that long. That's why
no, I think
it's
I don't
insane
think so.
That mock draft where you said he went undrafted. There's no way, man. With 6'7", with that length, there's no way, man. Somebody's going to take him on just his potential alone. I don't think there's any way. I would be surprised if he's even there at 47. If you wanted him, you probably easily have to take him at 29 or kind of pick up another pick there earlier, early second to try to get him. But, I mean, I like him, man. He's one of the prospects that I have on my list, man, that I think is a guy that you could look up 2-3 years down the line. And, again, like you're like, man, this guy was drafted in the second round. This guy went late first. And I think you really got a steal. And Grizzlies have done that. I mean, you saw where they got Brandon Clark. They got Desmond Bain. I still think Santi Aldama is going to be a guy that pays dividends down the line. So I trust this front office. If they take him, man, I have a good feeling that he's gonna turn into a player because that's just what we've seen from them.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt, man. So I chose, you sent me your list of guys first, and I chose Dalen Terry based off of one of the guys that you picked, just because watching film, you can kind of see both of them. So you want to move on to the big man? Move on to the big man next?
I was going to save him for last because I got a lot of stuff to say, but we can, if you want to go ahead and do Coloco, we can do Coloco.
It's up to you. We can go with Bryce next. I just figured we had both Arizona guys, go ahead and knock them out. Little foreshadowing. We can close with him. I'm good with it. However you want to do it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do Bryce. Bryce McGowan, 6'7", 181 pounds, 6'9", wingspan, freshman shooting guard out of Nebraska. 19 years old, man, good Lord, give him, good Lord, take him away, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type prospect with Bryce, man. He's mocked to the Grizzlies in a lot of mocks, man. You look at these numbers, 16.8 points, 5.2 rebounds, 1.4 assists, two turnovers a game, 83.1 from the free throw line, 40% from the field, 47.8% on two-point shots, 27.4% on three-point shots. 1.3 makes to 4.7 attempts per game, 40 of 146 for three overall. But first off, with the positives, athlete, definitely big time athlete, can really create and get to the front of the rim. Quick first step, which allows him to kind of get past his defenders. I mean, you can really see him change his speed rail. Really good at stopping on a dime and pulling up for jump shots. Three level score, can get to the rim and finish. He can get it, pull up in the mid range. Can also knock down three-pointers. I think he's a better shooter than that 27.4 three-point percentage would suggest. When he gets to the basket, he does a good job of using the rim as a shield. You'll see a lot of times where the defender has him, and he'll get to that side of the rim and kind of use it as a shield to finish at the basket. Changes speed really well with his dribble. He's a really good ball handler and has an array of moves to kind of evade defenders. He has a floater that – he can get off and put it far away from the rim. That's something that he goes to a lot when defenders don't allow him to get the jump shot and get all the way to the basket. Does a good job of finishing through contact and getting to the free throw line. In the pick and roll, man, he can be deadly in the pick and roll as a pull-up jump shooter. He can be streaky as a shooter at 27% from three. Like I said, that number doesn't sound great, but a lot of these guys, I think they're much better shooter than these numbers that you see even college and in the G League as well, as we talked about some of the guys we talked about last night, but was 34% on catch and shoot, so that looks a little bit better from three. Not much of a facilitator. It can get tunnel vision at times and put up some bad shots offensively. I mean, there are times where he goes hero ball, in isolation, some bad shots that you'll see him take early in the shot clock. But here are the negatives, man, and there are some pretty strong negatives on the defensive end. Not a good pick and roll defender whatsoever. Defensive posture is not good, man. Getting his flat footed, doesn't really get down in defensive stance at times. Just get lost and doesn't seem to put a lot of effort in on that end, man. He's one of those guys that just kind of all offense, and you can just see the effort drop on the other end of the floor. Commits a lot of lazy fouls, gets lost on screens, doesn't really try to fight around screens. Just on the defensive end, man, he just pretty rough, man. Just has a long way to go. And again, man, it's just an effort thing, especially. He just doesn't seem to put in the same effort defensively as he does offensively. Like I said, man, super skilled on the offensive end, but, I mean, the defense for him is a big-time negative, and I don't know if he's a guy that even – I mean, you hate to put a guy down this early in his career, but he just doesn't seem like a guy that's ever going to be a really good defender, because I don't know if he has the work ethic to go on that end. It just – doesn't seem the body language is bad, man. I saw some bad stuff on tape, man. Just getting beat easily. Like I said, doesn't fight around screens, man. It's just pretty rough on the defensive end for Bryce.
You know who I see in him? Mason Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Mace is a better shooter, I think. But, you know, Mason Jones was a bucket at Arkansas. But he – couldn't even spell defense. And, you know, you would think a guy that was able to get to the bucket and play through contact the way that Mason Jones was, that you would see him somewhere getting that, you know, the off the bench scoring minutes for somebody. And we haven't seen that yet. And I think a lot of that has to do with his inability to play defense. And that's what scares me. I'm not completely out on Bryce, because he has insane bursts. Like when the defense, if he's attacking a pick and roll and they give him a seam, he's getting downhill he's quick. Like there's no hesitation on the offensive end. He has a lot of elite tools, but just like you say, the defense is almost non-existent. And that's why it would surprise the heck out of me if the Grizzlies end up drafting him because of some of the things you just mentioned, the body language on defense, the times when he's just out of position, like just checks out. And I'm not saying that you've never seen a Grizzly do that, because you do see it happen from time to time. But I feel like if you go in and you watch enough film, you're going to see it from him numerous times throughout the season. I love his ability to get to the free throw line. He's made some great, like, absorbing the contact and still able to get the shot up and get the ball to go in. Anybody that's shooting, you know, in the mid 80% from the free throw line, you know, I'm going to love him. But I do agree, the 3-point shooting, the quality of shots make a difference, right? So, like, when you're the number one guy, we've talked about this a number of different times. When you're the number one guy, the defenses are scheming to try and stop you. He's not going to be a number one guy in the NBA. Not starting off, we never know what somebody's going to develop into, but he's not going to start off as a number one guy in the NBA. And so the defense aren't going to be scheming to him. So that's going to free up his shot quality is going to be better. But if you run through his game log and you look, when he gets aggressive, he gets to the free throw line a lot. There was again in a game against Rutgers, he got to the free throw line 18 times. He got to the free throw line 15 times against Maryland, 10 times against Southern, Western Illinois 12 times. He gets to the free throw line because he's not afraid to go right into somebody's chest. And I do like that about him. I like a lot of the stuff he does offensively. But that lack of effort, it's – I hate to say that he checks out on the defensive end, but I think that's really the best way to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch it on film, man, it's just – at times just doesn't seem to put in an effort. Like I said, flat-footed, doesn't get into a defensive stance. I mean, he's just kind of a cone out there at times, man. I think Jordan Poole was another guy that I kind of thought of when I watched him play. I mean, he's kind of the same way defensively. I mean, you can just – go by him pretty much with no resistance, but a guy that can really score. And again, man, it's a lot to like on the offensive end, but I don't know if I would take him in the first round. I think his defense is so bad, and I don't know. Again, man, you hate a guy that's only 19 years old. You hate to kind of write a book on him, but I just don't know. Even with great coaching, I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that's going to be a plus defender or anything like that. And when you talk about the Grizzlies, that's something that they really value with their guys. So I don't, that's why I don't know if he'll be a guy that they would select. I just don't see him. That's not their MO. They could always change. I mean, teams do different things, but going on their history, he's not a guy that I think they would select because of that. But on the offensive end, man, a lot of things that you see, again, like you said, getting to the free throw line, finishing through contact. I mean, he makes tough shots. Again, man, anytime you have a guy with shooting and scoring ability that can score for three levels like he can, That's always a positive. But again, man, you want him to at least be decent on defense, and he has a long ways to go, I think, to even get to that level.
Yeah. You've got bad defenders, and then you've got about 40 foot of crap, and then he's somewhere down there.
Yeah.
And that's,
no doubt.
Like you say, 19 years old, you can't write him off. You never, like, something may happen that clicks for him, and he's like, hey, if I don't decide to put effort in on this end of the ball, I'm not going to make the league. I'm not going to stay in the league. And so something may click, and he may turn into a guy that is a serviceable defender. And in the NBA, being a serviceable defender, if you can get buckets, will get you by. See Jordan Clarkson. He's not a great defender at all, but he can go out and get buckets, so he gets rotation minutes.
Yeah. Like I said, Jordan Poole is another guy that doesn't really play defense, and he can knock down shots. So, I mean, that's why he's on the floor. That's why he's in the league. So Bryce could end up being that type of guy. But again, man, he would be more someone I would be looking at 47, which he probably won't be around then, because I think some teams see that offensive ability. A guy that's 19 years old, they're going to take it because of that potential. But I don't think I would take him there at 22 or 29.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, if they make a move, they move back, and they're, you know, toward the end of the first, who knows? But again, I would be shocked if they take him just based off of what I've seen from him on film defensively. You got anything else on him before we move on to my next guy?
No, man, I think that closes the book on Bryce. But again, man, he's mocked to the Grizzlies on a couple different mocks, man. It's weird that you see him and Blake Wesley, who's a prospect that we'll talk about down the line. Those are two guys that have been consistently mocked for the Grizzlies. I don't think it has anything to do with any intel or anything they've heard. I think that's just kind of the area of the draft that they're supposed to go in, so they kind of land on the Grizzlies sometime. I don't think it has anything to do with intel or anything like that.
Yeah, my next guy is Andrew Nembhard, 6'4" guard from Gonzaga. And I wanted to talk about him because of the Tyus Jones situation. We don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we've made it known on here that we hope that the Grizzlies find a way to sign Tyus and he sticks around. But if not, you're going to have to find a way to fill those backup point guard minutes. Our buddy over, man, I just forgot who he wrote. Dude, I completely lost my train of thought. DeMichael Cole, who's he write for?
DeMichael Cole, the Daily Memphis.
Yeah, DeMichael Cole writes an article that De'Anthony Melton might be the backup point guard. DeMichael, my man, you have watched the Grizzlies play.
Yeah, man.
You've watched them play, and you've watched when De'Anthony Melton is a primary ball handler. In transition, that's okay because he's not getting any pressure on him generally. But in a half-court setting or in a position where he's going to have pressure on him, I wouldn't trust my life for De'Anthony Melton to drill. I just wouldn't. De'Anthony Melton's handle is not good enough for him to be a backup point guard.
No, man. Now, when I saw that article, I was like, man, DeMichael, man, I love you. But, no, nah, man, that's not it. It's not it.
Yeah, like that's not to say that De'Anthony Melton can't get in the lab this summer and fix that handle. It's not beyond repair, but unless he finds a way to improve that dramatically between the end of the season and the start of next season, I don't think that's it. I love him. I would love to see Melton get more minutes consistently, because if he could ever find a way to be consistent, it would be – lightning in a bottle for the Grizzlies, because he's always out there doing something. But back to the prospects, we wasn't planning on going deep into Melton on there, but I think that Nembhard would be a guy that could come in day one, high basketball IQ. He's going to be smart with the ball. I like his wingspan, you know, 6'4", he's not very big. The 6'6", the plus wingspan gives him enough length that he's going to be able to get out there and guard guys. He creates separation to get his own shot. He's not a great catch and shoot guy, so you can't play him off the ball and play him with Ja Morant. That's not something that you're going to see from him, but he distributes the ball. I think that he's got to be up there in the discussion for best passer in this draft, honestly.
No question.
Some of the passes he makes, he does a great job of looking guys off and then hitting a guy cutting to the rim. His assist to turnover rate is incredible. I had it up and I just shut it down to pull something up on Bryce McGowan.
Let's see. He's 5.8 assists to 1.9 turnovers. So
So he takes care of the ball.
I'm a 3-1.
But you look at what Tyus Jones does for the Grizzlies. Number one, he shoots the ball well. He put the work in to do that. Tyus is a much better catch and shoot guy than Nembhard, but when he's got the ball in his hands, he's a capable 3-point shooter, but he's not so aggressive that he's not going to get other guys involved. He played at Gonzaga, and I know that, you know, that conference gets a lot of hate, and rightfully so. Outside of Gonzaga, there's not really any other teams that are producing NBA caliber talent. So maybe you can question that a little bit, but with him, he's a 4-year guy. I think that he can come in day one and be a nice step-in replacement if the Grizzlies happen to move on from Tyus Jones.
Hey, you talk about guys that fit the Grizzlies' MO, and we're talking about Bryce McGowan not really being a guy that fits that MO. I think Andrew Nembhard is a guy that definitely fits their MO. I mean, you know, they're Gonzaga guys. But he's 22 years old, four-year player. And you talk about Tyus Jones. He, in his combine interview, when they asked him to compare himself to anybody in the league, Tyus Jones was the guy that he mentioned. Said that Ja missed 20-plus games this year, and Tyus Jones stepped in and was able to still win games. And he said he feels like he could fill that role for somebody from day one. So he's already compared himself to Tyus Jones. But I love Andrew Nembhard. Was a big reason me covering the Tigers here and Tiger fans here in this area. He was a big reason why Gonzaga was able to beat Memphis in that game. Knocked down big shots, clutch threes late in that game. Every time they needed a basket, he seemed to be knocking down a clutch three there in the second half. But as you said, man, he's a super, super high character guy, number one. You talk to people about him. I mean, really, really good locker room guy, high IQ, and 6'4 and a half. I put him at 6'5, listed at 6'4 and a half, measured at 6'4 and a half in the combine. He said 6'6 wingspan, really, really excels in the pick and roll. I think might be the best pick and roll guard in this draft. Really, really does a good job of that. He talked about that. He said he feels like that's his best skill. Doesn't turn a basketball over a lot. Like I said, 6 assists to 2 turnovers on average. I mean, that's almost 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio, which is fantastic. And that's similar to what we saw with Tyus Jones, a guy that's going to come in, is not going to lose a game for you, man. Going to kind of take care of the basketball. Not going to have many turnovers out there. You're kind of surprised when he has a turnover. Uses his size. He can post up smaller defenders. And at 6'4", 6'5", playing point guard, man, there's going to be a lot of guys that he's going to be bigger in. He's going to be able to take them in the post and post them up. A pretty good athlete. Not an elite athlete, I would say, but a pretty good athlete. It just brings all the intangibles that you want. Just a heady player and a guy who wasn't really – I mean, you saw him late second, some going undrafted in some mocks, and I think his play at the combine, I think, kind of has some teams talking about him in the late first round now. I mean, I think the Grizzlies, there's been kind of some buzz here in Memphis. I think a lot of fans are fans of his and think he would fit on this team if Tyus Jones does decide to move on. And I couldn't agree more. As far as the negatives, he doesn't do a fantastic job of creating his own shot. He can't gamble a bit on defense. And sometimes he's a bit unselfish to a fault. Sometimes you like him to shoot more, but you can't knock a guy too much because he really gets his teammates involved. But I think he's going to be a guy who guys are really going to want to play for because, yeah, man, he does get you involved, man. He does a good job of finding guys in your spots. I mean, you just heard him in that interview. They brought up some film of different plays that he made throughout the year at the combine. And the way he was talking about it, man, it sounded like a coach. The way he was breaking down what the defense was doing, you can just tell how high that basketball IQ is. And he's just a winning player and one of those guys that's going to be good not only on the floor but in the locker room. And I wouldn't mind him being on the Grizz at all, man. I think he'd be a great person, fits in with the culture of this team because he's one of those guys that's going to do it the right way on the floor and off of.
And I like his ability to create separation. I think his step back is strong, you know, that maybe he needs to add a little bit more to his bag, but in the games that I watched of him this evening, he was doing a really good job. Like it's not a James Harden looking like you take 14 steps back and creating 12 foot of separation, but he was able to create enough to get his shot off. And that's where, when it comes to the 3-point shooting, that's where he excels, is when he has the ball in his hands and he has to make that decision to shoot it. So, you know, maybe he can improve that a little bit, but I thought that was in a pretty good spot. The thing that I like to see from him, you know, career high from three this season, and his free throw percentage. You saw that, you know, he was 76, 77, 75, and then a big jump up to 87% this year. Yeah. And then the career high in 3-point percentage is on more attempts. You know, he averaged 3.6 on his career. He shot 4.2 this year at 38% clip. So that is something I would like to see him work on, playing without the ball in his hand. But again, he's a backup point guard. There's been plenty of times that before Tyus developed that shot, we saw them try to play Tyus and Ja together and it wasn't working. So, you know, just avoid that. If Tyus is gone and he's your guy, you know, he doesn't play off the ball very well. Don't put him in there with Ja. It's as simple as that. You know, Ja's going to come out of the game for 12, 13 minutes during the regular season, less than that during the playoffs. Don't put him out there with Ja. You're good to go.
Yeah. Again, I think if you're going to have a rookie as your backup point guard out of this draft, and you're not talking about Kennedy Chandler, or I think I would even, and I know a lot of people would say I'm crazy for this, I think if you're looking for specifically for the Grizzlies, I think if you're looking for a backup point guard, a guy that's got to be a rookie, if you're not talking about Kennedy Chandler, I think I would probably go Nembhard over Ty Washington for the Grizzlies.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Yeah.
I get the mindset behind that because of the comments, like best position to win, best position to win. And short term, I think that answer, like, that's 100% correct.
Yeah, now if you're talking long term, I definitely would rather have Ty. But that role is important. That role is important next year. And if you're going to depend on a guy to step in next year and be that backup point guard for you, I think Nembhard would probably do a better job for you out of the gate for in that position backing up Ja than Ty would year one. Now, if you're talking 4 or 5 years down the line, I think I would definitely go Ty Washington. So it just depends on how you're looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I hope they're not in that position because I'm going to be sick waiting to hear who they pick. You know, like,
I would probably take Ty because to me, I'm always, like, a lot of people think immediate, like, and it kind of goes back to the Dylan Brooks thing. I'm not going to get into that, but a lot of people, that's my philosophy why I feel like they should, if they're not going to pay him, they should move him. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people feel like they should ride it out because they have a chance to possibly win a championship next year. If you move him, it's probably going to be something that's going to make you less talented in the short term. And I'm always kind of for that long term. But so, and I say that I'd really have Nembhard in a vacuum next year. I think that was right, but I would probably still, if they were in a position to draft Nembhard or Ty Washington, I would probably still take Ty, even though I just said that probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but I probably would.
Yeah, we probably could have led with this. I don't know why I waited till now to talk about it, but did you happen to see the announcement? Mike Schmidt, the lead draft analyst for ESPN, is finalizing a deal to become the assistant GM for the Portland Trailblazers.
Man, I saw that alert come up, but I saw something about the Trailblazers, but I didn't read it, man, because I was busy breaking down film. So I guess that's what it was. But some news dropping there.
That's I don't know. I mean, it's great for him. It's fantastic for him. He does a great job. He's done a great job for ESPN for a long time. But do you think that this could be the start of, like, high caliber guys that have put in the work doing the scouting and, you know, digging into these draft prospects? Do you think this is the start of some of those guys getting an opportunity with teams? And even, you know, before he got hired in an assistant GM type position, there were teams that hired, some high-end NBA draft analysts to come in and work with them in their draft room. How much of that, like, do you think we're going to start to see that spill over anymore?
I do. I mean, you saw kind of Hollinger. I don't necessarily know if he's a draft guy, but he kind of a outsider, not a guy that had worked in their front office or anything with the Grizzlies here for a while. But I think as time goes on, I think people are starting to think outside of the box. I mean, these guys like Chris Wallace and those type of guys, I mean, I think those kind of GMs are eventually going to be obsolete. I think people are trying to think outside of the box, like the Grizzlies and some of the things that they're doing, these smart analytic guys. I think that's kind of what you see. And these guys that are scouting guys, that's kind of their lane. So I think you are going to see a lot of more of these guys get hired. I don't have any problem with them because, again, I think these guys that are actually in there work with these prospects, not just guys that are running the front office and we're going to go watch some guys play basketball. These guys are really into the numbers and digging into all the stuff that you need to dig into on these prospects, and they're used to doing that. So you move into the front office, man, and they're ready to go. I mean, they know how to scout these guys and really put in the work to separate these guys I just think as time goes on, I think people are trying to get smarter and smarter, man. And I think that's the direction that the NBA is heading. So I don't think that'll be the last at all. I think that's going to spill over to other teams. I think you're going to see that start to happen consistently.
What's up, guys? It's David. Before we go any further, I've got to take a couple moments here to tell you about our new partner at Ethos Grizzlies, Ember and Valor. Ember and Valor specializes in beard care products. Let them take your beard to the next level with their easy two-step process. You get started with the beard oil to condition your skin and prevent the dreaded beard itch. You finish it off with Ember and Valor's beard balm to condition and shape your beard. Go over to emberandvalor.com right now and use promo code ETHOSGRIZZ for 25% off. Let them get you the beard you've always wanted. emberandvalor.com, emberandvalor.com, promo code ETHOSGRIZZLIES for 25% off. I've got to run it by you one more time. I can't allow you to miss it. 25% off at emberandvalor.com right now using our promo code ETHOSGRIZZ. That's ETHOSGRIZZ at emberandvalor.com for 25% off of all of their products. Ember and Valor makes all of their products using all natural ingredients. Get over there, check them out, use the promo code, let them know we sent you. You will not be disappointed. EmberandValor.com. Look good, feel good.
Now, I think, you know, that opens up a big position at ESPN. And I don't even know, to be honest with you, I couldn't
get my application,
tell you.
Get my application ready now.
Yeah. Fill it out. Send it in, man. I don't even know who would be second in line for them for draft coverage, to be honest. Is it Giovanni, maybe? Or Giovanni? How's he say his name?
Yeah, it's Giovanni, yeah. Gavone, John Gavone. I think he could definitely be first and formerly the person that started Draft Express. I mean, he's been around for a long time, so mm-hmm. that wouldn't surprise me if he kind of slides into that role. Because he's kind of left Draft Express now and doing some work there. So I think that would probably be the natural fit. Good on him. I mean, a guy that started off with a mock draft website, man, it's kind of built himself into a big-time guy. And I think he would do a good job in that role. Man, he's someone I've been following for years. I mean, he's been kind of the lead. He was kind of the first guy on this on the internet level to kind of started with this, man. And again, I just think it's a new phenomenon. And again, I don't think he's going to be last. I think you're going to see he's probably going to end up in a front office one day. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
I agree with that. That's NBA draft Twitter is going nuts right now, like trying to figure out which one of those guys are going to get the opportunity.
I think he'd probably be top of the list, I would think.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys on NBA draft Twitter that are very sharp. Mavs Draft is a guy that he's been doing this for a while, does high quality work. Rafael Barlow is a guy that's been doing this, been grinding for a long time.
Nathan Hooper, Google with Draft Deeper, and they're growing, and he's doing a really good job with his site. So,
yeah, a lot of folks that we may see their names all of a sudden climbing up, getting a little more that follower count and getting bigger. So, man, we'll move on to the next prospect. We'll save your big man for last. We'll move on to Murray State prospect Tevin Brown, 6'5" wing. I did not find a for sure wingspan on him. I know that it's plus, but I saw a couple different things, and I didn't see any actual measurements at the combine. But pretty consistently, I saw a 6'10" wingspan. But I'm not going to go on, like, don't quote me on that, because it may be slightly smaller than that. It's definitely not bigger than 6'10", but I saw anywhere from like 6'9", 6'9 and a half to 6'10". So we'll just say 6'10" and maybe 6'9". So,
yeah, I was going to say I couldn't find any numbers on it either.
Yeah, it's definitely a plus wingspan for sure. He's a 4-year guy at Murray State. We know how much luck the Grizzlies have had drafting a guy from Murray State.
Yeah, just a little bit.
He did play his freshman season with Ja Morant.
Yeah.
This kid is a lights out shooter. He's an elite shooter. He shot 39% on three on over seven attempts per game. He can score off the dribble. He's got the skills to be a secondary playmaker. He averaged 3.3 assists this season at Murray. He rebounds well for his size. He's got the tools to be a plus defender. I like guys that can defend. If you're coming out of college and you can defend, you can find minutes in the NBA. Herb Jones was a guy last year in draft Twitter. Well, he's a great defender, but I don't know if he's going to be able to score at the NBA level. And then he worked his butt off. He earned the coaching staff trust, and he ends up starting for a playoff caliber team. So, you know, it's this kid. He's not getting a lot of hype. You're not seeing him. I think like on ESPN, he's in the 70s, but he's super athletic. I really think that he's got what it takes to play at the NBA level.
Yeah, I don't have any question about that. And I think Ja Morant, I'm sure when Grizzlies is sitting there at 47, I'm sure that he would be in the air telling them to take Tevin Brown. I mean, he talks about him all the time. That's his guy, man. He supports his Murray State guys. Like you said, 6'5", 175-pound guard, four-year player out of Murray State. And you talk about the shooting, three-point numbers. I mean, this isn't a small sample size at all. I mean, he shot 38.4% on eight attempts a game, three makes on eight attempts a game. 106 of 276 overall. So this is not like I'm taking 1-3 every other game, man. He's putting them up. 276 is a lot of attempts in a college season. To shoot 38% on that many attempts, that lets you know, man, that he's an elite league shooter. Deep range on it too, man. He can pull up from deep. High IQ. Yeah.
He shot, it was a variety. It wasn't like there wasn't like 60% of them were catch and shoot or 60% were off the dribble. Like no, he shot him off the dribble. He shot catch and shoot. He shot him running off of screens, you know, creating motions for him to get that, you know. He shot them in a variety of ways. So this is not a guy that shot 70. Like Isaac said, it was very high volume, and he was very efficient doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it surprises me that he's not projected higher. I mean, he's not even – I don't even think he's on Tankathon's draft board. And I guess it's just – playing in the Ohio Valley Conference, but you see some other small conference guys on projected to go higher. So I don't know what they're missing on him, because I don't think there's any question at all that he's an NBA player. And again, with the Grizzlies sitting there at 47, it wouldn't shock me at all if they took him, because I know they know that's Ja's guy. Anytime you have a chance to get a good player, a guy that I think at 47 would be great value and is going to help make your franchise player happy, I think that's something that you look at. But you said, man, really, really good shooter. I mean, that's an elite skill that I think he brings from day one. High IQ, super skill. As you said, moves really well, man. Moving around, moves off screens, shooting moves really well without the basketball. A good rebounder for a guy 6'5", almost six rebounds a game. A crafty score, like I said, man, shoots shots from pull up, man, off the dribble, just does it all. Gets to the rim. I think the negative on him, I think he needs to get stronger. I think he needs to put on a little weight. I think that would be something which that's going to happen naturally. When you get to the NBA, you got to get it on a weight program. They're going to get you where you need to be there. But he's not super explosive as an athlete. He's not a bad athlete, but he's not super explosive. But again, man, I think his elite shooting ability, he has the potential to be a secondary playmaker. I mean, he can do a lot of things for you, man. I think if he's a guy that you're looking at 47, I think he could end up being a steal there, man. I like him a lot.
Well, the thing for me that I like the most is year one, he plays with Ja Morant, and he's playing off the ball. He's super effective year one. As he continues his career at Murray State, he goes from being kind of a secondary guy to being – the primary guy. And, you know, Murray had KJ Williams, and KJ is no doubt an NBA talent. He transferred to LSU. You'll see him this year, and I feel like he will be a guy we'll definitely be discussing in next year's draft class. But when they needed a bucket at the end of the game, this is a guy that had the ball in his hands. He's going to make the right decisions. If you're not careful when you're guarding him, he can pull up from 30 feet and knock one down. You know, there is not a spot in the half court that he's going to have the ball where he can't knock that shot down. And I love it. I love the fact when you go in and you're diving into film and you're looking at guys that shoot the ball, you see a lot of repetitive shots in the corner, catch and shoot, in the corner, catch and shoot, or they're hitting a step back off the dribble. When you go and you're watching Tevin Brown film and you're watching him shoot threes, there's so many different looks from him from all over the floor. It's not just on the right side. You see him in the corner one time, and then he's got the ball at the top of the key and he's taking, you know, creating that separation and taking a step back. Just a wide, wide variety. And the secondary playmaking, he's a guy that could easily, you know, get the ball and still make the right decision if the ball is not in John Morant's hand. So, yeah, he's at Murray State. I wanted to shout out to my buddy for the Ethos Braves podcast, John. He's like, hey, are you guys going to talk about Tevin Brown? And I had planned on talking about Tevin Brown anyway. I watched the game at Murray this year whenever Ja was over there. He was the return to Murray. So I went over there. That was not anything. Ja was just sitting in a recliner watching the game, by the way. But
yeah, literally a recliner. Like, yeah, they have a recliner set up for every family. Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah, I got to watch Tevin live. And, you know, when you're watching film, there's a massive difference in speed. You don't get the true speed of a person whenever you're watching them on TV or watching them on film. You see them in person, you can really see a difference. Like, you, elite talent stands out in person more so than it does on film, I believe.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. When you watch a film and seeing a guy in person, it's definitely different. Especially when if you sit really close, you can see a guy's athleticism better when you watch them live. There's no doubt about that. But man, we're gonna move on to the last guy. This is a guy that I'm kind of surprised that. I mean, he's projected early second round now, and that's kind of hair scratching to me when I watch him on film. But talking about Christian Coloco, teammate of Dalen Terry at Arizona, 7 foot, 221 pound center, 7'5" wingspan, older guy, junior, 22 years old. Maybe that's one of the reasons why he's kind of slipping a little bit. For some reason, people are scared to. It's ageism, man. I tried to tell people Chris Duarte last year that he's gonna be a good player. Nah, people passing him, but
man, this ain't ageism with this dude.
But man, first thing that stands out with Coloco is the rim protection. Average 2.8 blocks per game, 4.3 blocks per 40 minutes. One thing that you like is his experience being the anchor of the defense at Arizona. Watching film, I'd say he's probably best served in drop coverage right now, but he's not flat-footed by any means. He's not a guy that's a plot or anything. Like, he can't move. He's super athletic and long. Not only does he block shots at the rim, he gets out and contests and block shot jumpers as well. We talk about that verticality. He does a really good job of going straight up to avoid fouls. We've seen Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of struggle with that at times, and he does a really good job of staying vertical. You'll see him jump out on the ball handler as well as and then kind of step in and rotate over to the roller in pick and roll plays. Offensively shot 71.5% at the rim. Would play really well off a point guard like Ja, just catching and finishing it. He finished strong at the rim, does a fantastic job of not having to put the ball on the floor, just catches the ball and goes back up with it. Other than his shot blocking, I think he could be a big-time rebounder as well on the NBA level, extremely physical when he boxes out. High points to basketball and tracks the ball really well off the rim, has strong hands. It just muscles the ball away from defenders. Timing on putbacks is really good as well. Now, things that he needs to improve on, he doesn't have a great touch around the rim, man. If he isn't dunking it, it's not good, man. He's also heavily right-hand dominant. Anytime he goes to the left or has to try to score from the left, he'll try to use his right hand to score from the left side. It's tough. It's tough when he does that. He'll put up some ugly shots from the right block. Not pretty when he goes, not when he's not going left. I'll say that. When he does get beat, he has a tendency to reach and pick up bad fouls. It's similar to Jaren, he'll get caught in the air on jump shots and a foul jump shooters.
That's blasphemy. Blasphemy. Do not compare this dude to Jaren.
I can tell that you're not a fan, man, but doesn't really have a jump shot at all. It's just pretty much at the rim, man. Doesn't have anything from the mid range. His mechanics don't look bad. I mean, his free throw shot, he shot 73.5% from the free throw line, which is not terrible, for a big man. So his shot's not broken at all, but I mean, he doesn't have good touch on it, man. But I like him. I think I like his defensive potential. I don't think he's a guy that's going to put up a lot of points, give you much offensively in the league. But I think as a defender, man, and a rebounder, I think he definitely has a spot in the league.
He is an excellent rim protector. No doubt about that. That is, I think, to me, if you're talking like a Jaren comparison, that's about where it would end for me is the rim protection, because he does excel at that. Great rim runner, a guy that, you know, if you do have, you know, Ja getting downhill, he's going to get himself in the position to finish the play. But he doesn't have the foot speed to, like, the film that I watched on him, he's not going to switch on anybody. And if he switches on anybody outside of a four or five, he's barbecue chicken all day. Like, he doesn't have the foot speed, man, to make up for it if they get,
man, I don't know. That's not what I've seen from him.
Man, I think that he is JaVale McGee, like that, and probably doesn't even have the foot speed of JaVale McGee. I would say,
man, I don't know about that.
Somewhere in between Steven Adams and JV. Like, he's going to be a drop defender, not going to be a switchable guy. Maybe I could be wrong. There's times when we look at film and we get stuff wrong, but as a 7 foot, 225 pound big man, he can't set a screen. Like, if you go back, did you watch the Pac-12 championship game against UCLA?
Yeah, I think I watched that live. I don't know if I watched any film on that today, but I watched that game live. Yeah.
I was going back watching.
He didn't play well in that game.
Yeah, like he was not good in that game. The thing when you're a big man and you're going up to set the screen, man. Set it. Like he's a wide body guy. He's got the body to set good screens, but I don't know, like, I didn't see him in any case. And it's tough if you're not watching like full game film. It's tough to watch him set screens, because if you're just watching like highlights of him, you're not going to see him setting screens. That's not going to be part of it. But I have zero faith in his ability to set a screen. I do think that he would be a good rebounder because of that length. He can jump. He goes up. I saw him a number of different times going up and getting the rebounds two-handed. I like that, as opposed, like, when you're bigger and taller and longer than everybody around you, jump up there, high point that ball, and just control it with two hands instead of tipping it. So that is something that he does well. But I feel like he is a guy that will get played off of the floor because his lack of lateral quickness.
Man, I don't know, man. I've seen him switch on the guards and has done a pretty good job in some of the film that I watch and times watching him live throughout the season. I mean, he's not a super athlete. Like, he's going to be just switching all over the floor, but I also think he's better than I think initially he'd be better served drop coverage, but I think he has the athleticism, and I do think he has the foot speed to improve in that area. He's not a plotter. Like, he's not JV, and I think he's not Steven Adams. I think he's better, okay, has the potential to be better than both of those guys as far as moving his feet. But
he's not as slow as JV. That's why I think, to me, the stuff that I've seen on him, I think it's somewhere in between those two guys. And, you know, maybe you can put him level with Steven Adams, but I didn't see enough from him. I think that there are other guys that I would rather have that are his size, that are projected around the same area. And I'm out on him. Out of everybody that we've covered so far, I don't know that there's a spot that he could fall that I would really want the Grizzlies to draft him.
Hey, well, we totally disagree on him, man. That's part of it, man.
We can. And that's, you know, there are things that I do like about, like I said, there's no doubt he's going to be an elite rim runner. He's going to be a guy that finishes, you know, Rudy Gobert is a guy that gets himself in the right position to be a rim runner. And I think that he has that skill, and that's an elite skill from him, and his rim protection is elite. So it's maybe the games that I was watching today were just a bad example. Maybe I caught him in all bad games, but the screen setting, if you're going to play the five, I think that's an extremely it's not an underrated part. Everybody knows that Adams is a good screen setter, but I think it's underrated in the NBA in total. As when you have a guy on your team that can really go up and set that screen and help create that separation so your guard can get to his spot, it makes your offense flow so much better. And going back and watching that UCLA game, I was like, man, I'm not even sure he can spell screen. This is terrible.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, man. But I like him as a prospect, especially if you're looking at 29. And I just think him and Jaren.
First round? On the floor. You taking him first round?
Yeah, man. I mean, he's projected. No way. He's projected. I mean, he was projected as a lottery pick at one point. Like, I mean, he's now down like late and then first watched, or second. But
they watch this dude get switched on the guard and get cooked, and they're like, nah. Nah, we'll take Walker Kessler over him, boy from Auburn.
No, man, I ain't taking Kessler over here. We'll talk about Kessler later on, man, but I'd go Coloco over Kessler. That's just me, but we'll see how it plays out.
I'll pass on both of them, to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm good.
I'm good on Kessler, though.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. That's all six of them. We got our first big disagreement whenever it comes to the draft prospects. I'm sure there will be more, man. I'm sure there'll be more. So we'll be back sometime next week. I don't have an exact date. I'm trying to line up some guests, but we will definitely be back next week with some more draft coverage. When we have guests on, I don't know that we will do six. We'll do at least four prospects every episode to try and knock out as many as we can between now and the time that the draft happens. So you at least have an idea. I put it out on Twitter last night from the Ethos Grizzlies page. If you guys have a specific prospect that you would like for us to talk about, you want our thoughts on, go over there and let us know who you want it to be, and we will let you know. We're going to go through again. We're going to run through as many as possible between now and then. Sometimes you'll get all of them. Sometimes you won't. And with our time constraints, I don't think that we will be able to. Maybe we'll get lucky and get all of the 60 guys that get drafted, but I just don't see that it's going to happen this year. But we're going to enjoy it. We're going to get you as many as we can between now and then with some high-quality guests. Isaac, do you got anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
No, man, I think we got it all covered.
All right. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Again, the show is on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at DavidW2111. Candace, while she's not with us right now, she's still a huge part of this team. She is at CandaceH901. Keep an eye out for that Seahawks coverage. Unless you're not a Seahawks fan, then you can go and boo her and heckle her or whatever you want to do. Support her any way you can. Isaac's going to let you know where you can find him, and then we are going to get out of here.
Yeah, man, you can find me at Isaac_Rivals. It's ISAAC_Rivals. We'll be back next week, man, breaking down for prospect. So, man, be on the lookout for that. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And for David, Isaac, until next time, we go.